Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
H1N1 swine flu infection. For intervention, I bring prevention.
Because viruses go everywhere, everybody's getting into the act on H1N1 swine flu prevention as the school season begins. Even Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, addressed the issue, although he didn't rap on yesterday's Face the Nation program.
Continuity of learning is so important. As you know, we have so many working families. When school is closed, it creates tremendous social disruption. So if you reach a horrible critical mass where you have to, we'll do that. We're really trying to say if you're sick, stay home. Stay home until 24 hours after the fever breaks. And that's when you become less contagious. But schools are really trying to stay open. So far, they're doing a great job.
There are a number of federal agencies that have a stake in the H1N1 flu virus this fall, besides the CDC and the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, Health and Human Services. There's the Department of Education, and Arne Duncan is there speaking on what schools need to do. We want to start a conversation that will give you more information as the school season begins this week. Dr. William Schaffner joins us. He's of the Department of Preventive Medicine at the Vanderbilt School of Medicine, where he is chair, joins us from Nashville. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Lisa Swank is Public Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with the Harford County Health Department, also a registered nurse, who's speaking with us from Bel Air, Maryland. Lisa Swank, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Carol Johnson is the superintendent for Boston's public schools on the line from Boston. Carol, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Quickly for the three of you, and then I want to go into some more detail. Do you think, and I'll start with you, Dr. Schaffner, that the response toolkit is coming into focus for H1N1 at this stage, first week of February?
Oh, yes. I think that Arne Duncan and others, even the president, have told us what to do. And you just heard Arne Duncan talk about some of those things. Excuse me, hand hygiene. If your child is sick, don't send them to school. Parents ought to think in advance about child care issues, and lots of schools are providing hand hygiene gels and emphasis on hand washing right in the classroom. So lots of good things happening.
All right, Lisa Swank, how about you? The toolkit is clear. The response is absolutely straightforward for parents who are going to have questions this week.
I think one of the most important messages, too, is to emphasize the seasonal flu vaccine for children as well. We, of course, are waiting for the H1N1 vaccine approval and hope to have that. But the most important thing we feel like right now is to make sure that all those children are vaccinated against seasonal as well.
Right. And the seasonal vaccine is available, but the H1N1 vaccine probably won't be available till sometime in October. Carol Johnson, colleges that have opened already are already seeing outbreaks in specific dorms, in specific areas of campus. Some have done quarantine and isolation as a response. What lessons are you seeing from some of these headlines out of Atlanta and other places? Carol Johnson, superintendent for Boston's public schools.
Well, John, we've had an H1N1 planning committee that's been meeting weekly all summer long, and it really is a joint partnership between the public health department here. We've had a positive and longstanding relationship with Dr. Barbara Ferreira in that department, and Mayor Menino here in Boston convened a planning summit on August 21st, where we invited people from higher ed institutions, public health, private providers, educators, early childhood people, so that we could be well planned. And I think we've aligned our messages and our work with the toolkit, with the CDC guidelines, and I think we feel very well prepared to communicate to families and to work with our staff to do as much as we can to limit the spread.
Now, what if happens like what happened last week down at Emory University in Atlanta? You get suddenly 50 people at a particular school with all the symptoms, and they're right in the target age group where people say the symptoms could be really severe. What do you do next?
Well, of course, last spring, the guidance was to close schools, and we did close 15 schools. This year, the guidance is really trying to limit commingling of students from different classrooms. And in some cases, having to cancel large gatherings of social events. I think what we're trying to do is encourage, first of all, parents to keep their children at home, staff to stay at home when they have symptoms, and trying to limit the need to completely close schools. We certainly will have homework packets and information so that students who do stay home still have to do some more homework feel better.
I see. So you got that all worked out. Well, you've thought this through well. I guess getting out of homework is not going to be an H1N1 option. Dr. Schaffner, if you're healthy, the message is get the hand washing and the sanitary techniques up to speed in your family and at school. What if you're starting to feel symptoms? How long should you stay home, Dr. Schaffner?
Well, you should stay home for 24 hours after your symptoms have resolved. And for people particularly with underlying illnesses, once the symptoms start, immediately call. You don't visit, but call your doctor, because your doctor may want to prescribe an antiviral medication for you, which will shorten the course of the illness.
Don't visit, because that's where all the vectors are. That's where all the sick people are going to be. Lisa Swank, if there's a clamoring for Tamiflu antiviral drug to deal with people with symptoms, are you going to even be able to have close to enough in that situation?
The CDC is providing us information currently with how to distribute additional supplies. We're looking at triggers right now as to when that would be available, and we're also working closely with our community partners that are providing that antiviral in the private sector right now. So I think that there will be enough. It's just a matter of coordinating that effort.
Right. If this was CNN, I guess I'd ask you all, what's your worst-case scenario? But I'm going to forget that. I'm going to actually ask, what if this blows over and is no big deal? How do you prevent this from being a cry-wolf message so that the next time nobody pays attention? Dr. Schaffner, you first, and then I want to get a quick response from Lisa and Carol.
Well, it is a big deal. It's starting to be a big deal already, and it's going to take over. I always think being prepared against a worse outcome is preferable to being caught like Katrina and not having done enough.
Well said. Dr. William Schaffner is the chair of the Department of Preventive Medicine at the Vanderbilt School of Medicine. He spoke with us from Nashville, Tennessee. Lisa Swank, how do you prevent a cry wolf message?
I think the most important thing with this event, no matter what happens, is it certainly sharpens our ability to work with our community partners in terms of the public health and the community working together. And you can't lose when you're working together with any kind of event.
So you're working those public health muscles in this H1N1 crisis. That's a great takeaway. Lisa Swank is Public Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator with the Hartford County Health Department in Bel Air, Maryland. Thanks to her. Carol Johnson, take us out up there at the Boston Public Schools where you're superintendent.
Well, I agree with Lisa that these partnerships are critically important at any time. And so having these conversations early on it would be really an important thing. Also, having our nurses prepared with scanners, with masks, making sure our custodians are stocked with soap and paper towels. All these are really good, healthy things to do no matter what. And so I think that if we're able to prevent the spread, if we don't see the massive spread that it will probably be due to the significant amount of preparation that
we've
done.
Carol Johnson, superintendent for Boston Public Schools. Thanks so much. That was a great conversation.